Welcome to the Shooting the Cue podcast, presented by Heath Riles Barbecue, with tips, tricks, and an inside look with some of the top pitmasters in the game. Now here's your host, Heath Riles.
All right, we are back with Shooting the Cue, and I can tell you, I'm still wore out. What about you, honey?
Yeah, I'm tired. Memphis to Houston is a very long drive. I will not drive it again.
You will not drive it again?
That's what airplanes are for.
Oh, don't say that now.
That's what airplanes are for.
No, well, don't say that, because it won't always be
airplanes. I'll say I will not drive it. You can drive it. I won't.
Well, I guess we'll just have to see about that. What did you think about Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo?
I really didn't know what to expect. I've heard about it for years from a lot of our friends that have been and some that compete there every year, but I really didn't know what to expect. But I mean, really, it was just like something I've never experienced, really. It's so big and I guess flashy might be the word. I don't know. I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean they take it seriously. A lot of the booths there, like I guess we see Memphis and May booths, and like we've seen the booths in Georgia, like at the Pig Jig and stuff like that, where people take their booths seriously. But I feel like that was like a whole nother level. Yeah. Almost like you throw in the Grove in Oxford, Mississippi, and twist it with a barbecue. Like it's super fancy, and not all of them are that way, but there were some that, I mean, had beautiful flower arrangements, and just, I mean, it looked like a wedding was going to take place in there. Like a few million dollar wedding was going to take place
well,
in there.
Well, they did say that some of the tents cost up to $1 million.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Just for the inside tent. And to me, I'm just blown away by that. I think that was Cotton Logistics is who that was.
Cotton something. I think they're like the main sponsor of the event. But that booth, and I happened to one morning, me and Lacey had stayed back at the Airbnb and were kind of getting ready slower and weren't in a rush to get there. And I turned on the local news and they were kind of doing a tour of that booth, and me and Lacey watched it. And there were a lot of things you can't see just from the street. But, I mean, they had like separate rooms you could go to with like circular fancy booths, and they had like this whole list of hors d'oeuvres that they were serving, and like it was super fancy. It would have been probably a real big experience to get to go in there. And I think the night before I saw that news show, they said that Gretchen Wilson had performed in there the night before, so I guess it was like a big to do there for sure.
Well, I did see on Saturday night that somebody posted, I didn't see this until it was Sunday or Monday, that the Bellamy brothers played in somebody's
tent. I had heard that, and I also heard a rumor that Morgan Wallen was going to be there, but I don't know if that was a...
Brooks and Dunn was there. They played in somebody's tent.
Man, why didn't I go to these tents? I mean, not that our tent wasn't great, but...
We had live bands, multiple live bands, and dueling pianos in our tent on Saturday.
I didn't really get to see that part.
Yeah, we left before that really got good and started. Yeah. We were so wore out.
Well, we had a long drive home Sunday, so...
Well, I had already been there, been up since 4 a.m. And out there since 5 cooking, and it's... I don't know. I guess we could go back to the front. When we arrived there on Wednesday, you know, we drove all the way in.
Who drove?
About 9.5 hours.
Who
drove? You drove all the way. You drove all the way. I rode and give tons of support. Tons of support. Play-by-play action on Facebook, social media, emails. I was over there trying to do a little bit of work, and I did. You know, we got unpacked, got at the Airbnb. And I know then we went and went over to the rodeo, and we seen – Randy Pauly's tent first at Holy Cow Smokers.
Yeah.
And Randy's a good friend of ours. He happens to be the culinary, I think, director for Bucky's. Amongst him being the mascot for the Houston Texans and on the fire department. And I think Randy's just involved with everything. I don't know where he gets his burst of energy from, but if he bottled it up, I would definitely buy some of it. I can tell you. But they had a tent. Oh, my. I mean, ice cream booth. Multiple bars, stages, the video work, studio, coffee bar, pizza and cookie station. It was just
chocolate milk on
chocolate milk on tap. I mean, it was
non-alcoholic chocolate milk. But yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah, insane. I mean, he had 24 workers stay on site.
I'm surprised it's not more than that.
In containers, in sleeping arrangements and all that. And to me, that is just completely wild. I mean, he had kitchen crews of like a dozen or better trimming
briskets. There were always people in there. Like if you went out of site, there were people in the back working hard.
I mean, I know on Saturday night, you know, usually like at Memphis in May, and I'm skipping ahead here, we were talking about Wednesday, but, you know, the party's over. Everybody goes home.
Not
the awards are over. Oh, no.
That's the biggest night, apparently.
I found out apparently the team that we were cooking for, they cooked another, what, 60-something briskets and 70-something pork butts for Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I watched them take them off, take the briskets off anyway.
And I have, you know, I was wondering if they were going to slice all those briskets. Well, they did slice them in big hunks, and then they chopped everything with meat cleavers, which was very smart, in my opinion. It made it go further, and it was a lot better than just sitting there trying to slice all those briskets. But they, I'm still speechless on some of this stuff. But going back to Wednesday, we done that, went and seen Randy's thing, dropped some stuff off at Dar Equipment Rentals.
Well, so we were there to help cook. Well, are you?
Yeah, cook, we so we basically. Were there to help cook with Briggy Bomb Barbecue. They invited us and down. They have pretty much took over the spot for Dar Equipment. And Dar kind of provides all the equipment for the rodeo all month long, I believe, like all the big trucks and loaders and, you know, moving stuff around. Stuff like that, you know, and on the inside and all that. And so for them to have four spots, they were team 1,000, 1,002, 1,004, 1,006.
It was very far from the parking lot.
Yeah, we were in the whole thing. It
the furthest from anything, from turn-in, from parking.
Probably had a mile walk from the truck.
I don't know. I know my iWatch was just, like, acting crazy. Like, oh, you have new workout records. I was like, yeah, I know.
It was
It was, like, not even lunchtime, and it said I achieved my goal every day. So, I mean, it was a lot of walking for sure. But, I mean, the weather was nice and everything, so it wasn't bad. And it wasn't like that uphill walk like Memphis in May used to be and all
it
that.
It was a good flat walk. But what was cool, they was running golf carts.
Well, not for us.
From the part, well, we did take from the
once.
From the entrance. Yeah, we could have took them the other time.
I think a lot of those golf carts were like going to hotel shuttles, though. Like for people who were staying at hotels, that's what they kept saying. Like they had a drop off because there were hotels like near there.
But did you notice how nice everybody was and try to be
Texas.
Helpful and just. There was never no, and I'm not saying any of the other events are bad, but it seems like to me the hospitality in Texas was just so much more wide open. Mm-hmm. And it was not, even when you got to the entrance gate, it was like, yeah, what do y'all need? What do you, I mean, it was just so much more.
Yeah, I mean, there were, we didn't have enough passes, so we had to get some more or whatever. And there was one morning that me and Lacey came later, and she was having issues like pulling up her scannable thing, and the lady was like, I'll just scan mine, go ahead. Do you think that anywhere here would have said that about an event? They would have been like, sorry ma'am, you're not coming in.
Well, we know that you've got to wait outside the gate at Memphis in May
until a certain
minutes,
time
You know,
and this lady was just like, it's fine ma'am, just come on in, I'll scan mine. And I was just like, wow, that would never happen at home.
I mean,
unfortunately, I mean, I know you have to be careful with stuff like that and you can't just let people in, but I just thought that was very nice of that lady because we could have been standing there for who knows how long.
For sure. Well, we hung out a while on Wednesday, kind of got a lay of the land, and then we decided to go to Hooters.
Oh, God. We went to Hooters because, let's back up, we personally feel like all the Hooters near us are not good anymore. And, I mean, I'm not trying to be ugly, but we do like the food at a good Hooters.
Yeah, and, good chicken wing and the shrimp is great.
The ones near us are just not great anymore. So when we venture out of town, we usually try to go to one and get that old feel that we used to get here. So we went to the one in here, or one of the, I'm sure there's more than one, but it was wild.
We had an iconic moment. We seen the manager. I'm unaware if he slapped the guy or he hit the counter, but it was such a good noise.
He deserved, I mean, the one guy deserved to be slapped, truly.
I mean, so
I'm
just
not saying he did.
A little bit of backstory. Two guys come in and, you know, just acting rudely and kind of wild and loud and everything else. And the place was kind of semi-busy.
Well, they were kind of just there, like, bothering the waitresses. They didn't want to sit at a table. They didn't want to purchase food. They didn't want to purchase alcohol. They were just kind of there, whatever the word, you know, bothering and kind of, you know.
So they didn't want to be seated. They went to the restroom, come back, and, you know, we're trying to order drinks and stuff. And basically the manager
told them that they needed to leave if they weren't going to, you know, you couldn't just be there groping on people, you know.
Well, they didn't like that.
No, they did not.
That short fella as a manager.
He was a smaller guy.
Younger guy.
But he doesn't take any crap.
You got to say he runs a tight ship.
He does.
He does not play that.
I won't say the words that he screamed, but I was just like, whoa. And then, I mean, he ended up calling the police, and they left, and the police came and all that.
We offered to buy the police a drink. They wouldn't have one with us. I mean.
But, yeah, it was crazy.
Well, we had to open our own whiskey because the bartender wouldn't open.
Yeah, so, I mean, the bartender there that night was not that pleasant. You know, most of us ordered beers except for France ordered Maker's Mark on the rocks, I think.
Yeah.
And we all had our stuff and just waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And so we're asking the waitress, you know, like, literally, you just have to pour it over ice. Like, where's his drink? And so finally, she had been asking the bartender, and the bartender was like, well, I can't get the bottle open. It's like, what? So our waitress takes the bottle and brings it over to Shane, who's with, and says, can you please open this? This is the holdup. And it's just like, wow. You know, and so then I think she ends up, our waitress ends up basically being our bartender.
Hey, our waitress is great.
Oh, yeah. The waitress we had was wonderful, but the bartender that night was
and the food
not
was,
good.
Food was pretty solid. I ain't gonna knock it. It was good. Now, we did make another stop on the way home at a Hooters on Sunday.
Yes, and the food was much better there. Yeah, Denham I mean, not Springs. That the food was bad in Texas, but back up a little, though. So we have, you know, we keep saying Shane and Lacey. So Shane and Lacey LeClaire were there with us from Damn Yankee Texas Barbecue. Mitchell was there. France was there. So Shane and Lacey told us, I think it was JD told them, like, don't go to Hooters here in Houston. Like, don't go. And what do? The first night we go to Hooters after.
Well, yeah, you gotta find out what's about.
So, but yeah, on the way home, we did stop at another one, and it was, the food was a lot better there, and that place was crazy.
And
but,
the beer was ice cold.
Yeah, the beer was not cold.
It hurt
at,
me.
At
so cold it hurt me.
The beer was not cold at the Houston location that we went to. It was
well
cool but not cold.
So we wound back up at the Airbnb that night and got ready for Thursday.
Well, we went to HEB because so we don't have HEB here.
We did,
and we always like to go when we're near them because
I bought a bunch of stuff I didn't need at HEB.
Yes,
but it's HEB.
Yeah, I mean, we brought it all home. It's not like it
and I will
waste.
Say I'm a huge Publix fan.
Yes,
HEB is hard to beat. Now I do They're wish both- we had a HEB here.
Yeah, I mean, I wish we had Publix here, too, honestly.
I mean, I love Kroger. Love it. Walmart's great.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the HEB thing. Just, I think it's more the meat department that got me at HEB.
And the cheese department.
Well, and kind of the, yeah, cheeses and all that kind of stuff, too. But they make so much more stuff homemade. They offer so much Wagyu for sale, I guess, is the reason
Texas.
I'm so attracted to it. They have beef ribs, plate yeah. ribs. All kinds of brisket, tri-tip. I mean, everything's out in the counter. And I just think that's so cool. But like you said, that is Texas. It would probably be very hard to sell all those cuts of meat here because we're more of a
probably.
Pork community here, I would say.
Speak
over
for
beef.
Yourself.
Well, I mean, not what I mean by that. But at the grocery store, you see more ribs, Boston butts here.
Yeah.
You know, you do see beef. We get a lot of roast, and we have briskets and stuff. But we don't have the choices of briskets.
Oh, yeah. No.
The choices of tri-tips.
Not at your everyday Bacanias. Grocery store.
I mean, there's shoulder clods.
You'd have to go to like a special butcher yeah. shop to find those here.
Just so much. And that's what I mean by incredible.
Yeah.
And I will say our Kroger does an excellent job. They've started carrying a lot more cuts of meat, especially since the pandemic.
Yeah.
That I've noticed, which is cool. But moving on to Thursday, you know, we kind of got a lay of the land. kind of started setting some stuff up in the back for us on Friday, kind of got everything kind of laid out. And then we just kind of had a free day Thursday.
We went, like you said, for a little bit, and then we decided to leave because we were going to go back that evening.
Yeah, we went and got some lunch at
was it Papacito's?
Yeah,
Papacito's. I might be saying it wrong. I'm not sure, but it's like a Tex-Mex. It's a chain.
It's a chain.
But we just don't have it here, and it was very good.
Very good.
The margaritas weren't great, but all the food was wonderful.
Yeah, the food was spectacular. And they own, what, a seafood place?
I don't know.
They own that.
Something. Yeah.
They own several concepts in a row.
The cheese dip was real good there. The tacos. I mean,
tacos were huge.
I don't think anybody complained about, you know, everybody said that their food was good and we all ordered different things.
I had lunch fajitas, and I'm going to tell you what, they were some of the best fajitas that I've had at a place.
I had the fajita nachos, which I feel like those fajita nachos, you can't find those around here. Like, it was actual. If you go to a Mexican place here and you order fajita nachos, it's just a bunch of stuff thrown on top of chips, which is good. But these were like the old school. Each
single
individual
chip
had its beans and then cheese melted and then the meat. Like, each chip was laid out individually. And I was like, man, you can't get that at home anymore.
You just don't see that anymore, a lot of it.
Not anywhere here, anyways.
Didn't Chili's or somebody used to do that?
Yes, Chili's used to do that.
That's what I thought. Back in the day. So we had a great lunch there, and then we went back to the house, kind of refreshed, drank a few cold beers, all that kind of stuff, put on our cowboy boots, and went on back out Thursday evening to the contest.
I think everybody put on boots. Well, not everybody, but most everybody.
And we then went and visited several teams. Well, went to our booth first, hung out a while, and then we went and visited several teams, but we went in Pitmaker's booth.
That was my goal. Like, going to Houston, you have to go to Pitmaker. And we've been invited. They have invited us for many years to come to this event, and we've never made it. It just hasn't ever worked out. But it was crazy. It was unbelievable. And I think that anybody that's ever been in their booth knows what I mean. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, they put in a lot of time and effort and hard work, and they produce a party.
I mean, they do. I mean, they were cooking prime ribs, were coming off. Julio gave me a bite of prime rib that was incredible. But then there was this all this chicken on a spindle.
They're cutting it off fresh.
And they were making these
roll-up things.
Chicken roll-up things.
They were good.
It's a type of Mexican dish, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce the name or figure out what it was. I don't remember, but it was incredible.
It was
so good.
And they had, like, on another stand booth over here within their booth, they had, I think George said it was like gator bites and something else out, and he was like, oh, here shortly this is going to turn to a dessert, like a fried dessert. And you could see like all the Twinkies and the Snickers
bar.
They were going to start deep frying like all of this stuff in their booth. It was crazy.
It was.
All of the stuff that they had a full bar, like long, beautiful bar, like a big screen. I mean, it was like a nightclub in there. Yeah. Is the look that it was,
but
a nice one. You know what I mean? Like, I think that they had anything that you could have ever wanted in there.
Well, it was definitely a party.
It was hot.
We stayed
in there
a while. It was very hot. We got out of there. There were so many people outside that we knew and met people that recognized me, and we made our way around. We went over and seen the Barbecue Ninja and some of the Royal Oak guys, Kyler, Nick Wolfolk, JD, Q, several of them, the Barbecue Princess, Leslie.
We saw Tim Shear. He was there.
Tim Shear, talked to him with Blues Hog. Then we made our way over to Champions Row.
Yeah.
And seeing Fred Robles and
Bill Purvis.
And, you know, I can tell you those guys represent Texas 110%. You know, I guess in every state you have one or two teams that really just go after it.
So can you explain, like, Champions Row for, like, people that don't know what that is? Well, sorry, we're boring you.
Ooh, no, you're not boring me. I'm yawning. I'm sorry.
I know. Apparently we're boring.
Sleep. Allergies, my eyes are all kind of watering and everything else. I'm still wore out from Texas. I can't help it. But to explain a little bit about Champions Row, you basically win your way in from another contest. Yeah. So if I'm not mistaken, Bill had won Austin Rodeo, and it guaranteed his spot.
Austin Rodeo's right now.
Or maybe
it, maybe was it last like a year. Previous
it was
year.
Last year's, or maybe it was San Antonio's rodeo, but
I don't know.
Anyway, the winner, the grand champion from Austin, San Antonio Rodeo, some others,
all the different.
The American Royal winner. And then they had that mix up with the American Royal where they're accidentally called one team and yeah. the scores. So they allowed both teams to cook, which I thought was stellar on
yeah,
their part. That
I agree.
Is Southern hospitality.
I didn't even know that. But.
Because even making a mistake in somebody else's sanctioning body, Houston goes, nope, we're going to put both guys in here. Instead of six teams being in champions row, we're putting seven in.
Does the Jack have a...
The Jack Daniels, the winner of the Jack, was there. And so you can kind of see that's just...
But not Memphis and May.
Not Memphis and May. I really wish Memphis and May would get involved with Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. I don't know. That was just stellar of them to invite both of those winners. And the way they do it, they section those guys off behind a gated fence from everybody else so they're not bothered. Yeah. So they kind of have their own personal area, kind of quiet area, which is the area that I like to hang out in. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the big parties and all that, but I'm one of these 9:30 guys that go to bed now every night, and I'm up at 5 a.m., 4:30. And that was all great, but I don't know. I was definitely ready to go to bed. But after that, we did see the Willie Nelson
Impersonator
band in a tent. It caught my eye.
Like from, the distance.
That was pretty crazy. And just by the content, we're dropping a video. We have dropped it now. The parties were just crazy there. We panned across some of it. But at our tent alone, having a forklift, pallets of beer, pallets of liquor, pallets of water, pallets of soft drinks, a walk-in cooler, over 20 Port-a-Johns, and this is just our booth that we're in. A custom bootmaker inside the booth. Turtle box inside
me.
The booth. Yeah, he got you. The custom bootmaker got you. When you going to get them? About 8 months from now?
6 to 9 months. I'll show you all my new boots when they come in.
Yeah, she had to have her some boots. So be it. Happy wife, happy life, right? there was a tequila tasting inside the booth. RC Ranch was there. Mm-hmm. The bar, I'm going to say, was probably 20 foot long, had 8 bartenders behind it. Just crazy.
Lots of things.
So moving on to Friday, we left and went to the park, went back to the Airbnb anyway. And then Friday, we get out there, get meat inspection going, get trimming done, kind of get the lay of the land, get it all done. And about 5 o'clock, 5:30, we decide we're leaving.
Well,
right?
For those that don't know, tell them what meats that you cooked there.
So we had to cook brisket, and you can only cook 2 briskets, and you had to have them tagged by your ambassador. You can only cook 2 chicken halves or 2 whole chickens, and they have to be tagged, and you can only cook 2 slabs of ribs.
Right.
So only cooking that amount of ribs and brisket and all that, I really didn't know what to expect being my first time in Texas cooking that contest. I learned a lot, asked a lot of questions from a lot of people.
And so, I feel like there's going to be people who don't – what. Meaning it has to be tagged. It means that your ambassador comes and puts like this metal tag on that piece of meat, and come the next day, it has to be that piece of meat because he, which we can get to that, but they tag it and that's the meat that you have to cook. There's no cheating, no.
And they watch you. They have to verify the numbers on that tag the next morning. Yeah. They come back. You tell them when you're going to start building your blind box. They give you your turn-in time. There's so many teams.
You don't have a box until they come back.
They don't
either.
Have a box until you come back. So you're waiting on them. They bring the box, you verify it, then you can start slicing and doing. You can do anything you want to before you put it in the box. When you put it in the box, you can do nothing but clean the outside of the box or clean it and arrange meat. You can't add anything to it. So I think that was a really cool concept. I kind of liked it. Didn't know what to expect. Learned a lot. We didn't finish where I wanted to finish. Everything is eaten with a fork and knife there. I have a better understanding of that. Our ambassador wouldn't let us put foil in the box or anything like that. And come to find out, you could. And so there were some few things that I learned, but it's cool. I loved it. Definitely want to go back. for sure. But tagging all the meat on Friday, then we decided to get out of there Friday.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, coming back so early.
At 5 a.m., us getting up at 4, and we left and we went to dinner. Had a decent dinner.
It was okay.
And then we had a couple flats.
A couple, not just one.
So we went across a railroad track in Houston. Traffic was killer, and so it routed us around a way to get back to our Airbnb, and we went over these railroad tracks, and Candace looked at me, and she's like, why is this on my dash over here? These numbers are going down. And I looked over, and I'm like, we got two flats. There's no way those sensors should be saying that now. So I roll down the window, and sure enough, on the right side, both tires are going flat. So we pull over on a little side road, get out and look, and we really can't find anywhere where the tires got a hole in it.
Well, they did.
And it was so teeny tiny where it pinched it at. And so we called our AAA stuff and had somebody come out with an air compressor first, because I thought maybe we just blew them off the bead. And we could see where it pinched it. So then we had to get a rollback, get loaded up. And luckily, there's 24-hour tire shops in Houston.
Shady ones. Like, this tire shop was in with a weed shop.
And there were five of them like that.
Yeah.
And when we get there in the rollback, I go in the rollback with the guy.
I did not.
Record driver was cool, by the way.
Oh, yeah. He seemed very nice.
Oh, yeah. Me and him exchanged info. We're
tight. He seemed nice.
But at this shop, there is 8 bays, and there is already 10 cars getting flat.
Well, back up. So before we go to the shop, we didn't even mention there's another car that pulls over right by us with flats from the same railroad track.
So
it's like a thing.
Yeah, it happens all the time, apparently.
Which is weird and shady.
And
I think.
So they had to go get the tires from another shop and bring them over.
And they still didn't. They're still the wrong size.
And they had wound up being the wrong size that we had to put on. Like, we had to go up a size. And so we put those on the rear. And so finally, new tires are here at home now. And we're finna get new tires put back on.
Because we have the wrong size.
You ride. Yeah. But that's all we could do. And it was just a crazy experience. Ended up costing me about $725. When it was said and done.
Well, that's because you got crappy tires. It would have been more if it had been.
There was no other tires.
Oh, available. I know.
I mean, so it was either, I know.
That was the only
option. There
or oh, I know.
Done.
I know.
And
I was about ready to leave it there.
Well, I told you what to do. I mean, I hate.
I would have flown home. Like I said, I'm not driving back there.
I mean, I'm not being mean or nothing else, but you're in certain areas. I'll get your personal stuff out of the car and. I mean, I don't care if you roll down the windows and pitch the keys on the seat. Don't matter to me. I mean, it really don't. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but it was already, 10 o'clock at night. I was ready to go to bed.
Yeah, and then I had that guy at the tire shop.
All great.
He wanted us to keep driving on it, and the tires were about to come off, and we were going to be driving on rim, and it was going to damage it. And
it was a great experience.
Was it?
It was a great experience. It didn't bother me that much.
It made me yell at that old man.
I mean, it happens. I'm not going to be mad about it either way. But we got up Saturday morning, bright and early. Me and the guys did. We headed back out there. Got there, actually got a parking place up front because we got there so early in the morning and only had to walk about a mile to the booth. Got to the booth, got that gateway drum fired up. We put those briskets on, got them rolling, and turned in what I thought was really good product.
Everybody said, I honestly didn't taste any of it, but everybody said it was great.
I can nitpick my ribs a little bit. I probably should have wrapped them about 20 minutes before I should have. But other than that, I can nitpick myself on the brisket and say I should have trimmed it to fit the box prior because I never cut the sides off of my brisket, but it just relaxed so much that I had to do that to make it fit in the box. But other than that, the tenderness, the flavor, I wouldn't change anything. I mean, at all. I mean, it was really good.
Everybody said it was great.
I did learn you need to put a little char on chicken, I feel like. We did not put any char on our chicken. Like almost like a grilled on the skin.
Yeah.
And I did notice Bill Purvis, he done it on his, but a lot of your top placing teams, he did. Bill's on fire with chicken. He's got a great new injection in Brian out. He keeps his stuff really simple, and he's doing a stellar job.
So he won first chicken. Pitmaker actually ended up getting first place rib, which is awesome.
And they won something in brisket as well, but they had two teams there.
So Taste of South Texas barbecue team won first place brisket, but I think the way that they worded it on Facebook, it's like a sister team of theirs. Yeah. So, yeah. And that's who won overall grand champion as well.
Yeah.
So, but I think they're, you know, associated with Pitmaker.
Yeah. Well, we've seen a lot of people that we knew, seen a lot of people that I did not know that knew me.
So all that was on Saturday, and like we were saying, Saturday is like the big night there, but we just knew we had such a long drive home on Sunday. But some of our France and Mitchell stayed, and France's daughter and friend were in town, and apparently they got shots of Fireball poured in their mouth from midget cowboys or short cowboys. I don't know the proper term.
It was, the pictures we seen were pretty crazy.
There were blow up dolls floating around. I mean, just all kinds of crazy stuff. I don't know.
I mean, I gotta respect Houston. They do it, and they do it right. And I mean, I've said this 10 times, but it almost seems like everywhere else you go to, it's about a barbecue contest. And in the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, it seems like to me it's 90% party and 10% barbecue.
Well, and so something that we haven't talked about, and I don't remember the exact time, but so they all throw this huge party on Saturday night, and it goes into the night.
It's over at 11, I think. They cut it off at 11 or midnight. It's done.
Maybe midnight. But anyways, they have so long, and they have to have everything out of the park by Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they throw these big parties, and then they only have however many hours to get it all cleaned up and done.
You have 7 days to set up and 24 hours to tear down.
That's crazy to me. Crazy.
I don't think it is.
Oh, I mean, I just better have your stuff together and
just about being organized.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm sure most of, you know, those teams have been doing it for however long, so I'm sure they have their process in place that get it done quickly.
So what was your overall thoughts of Houston Rodeo? I mean, I don't want to say compared to anything else we've done,
it's
because it does
comparable.
Not comparable.
I mean, it was great. It was.
Will you pace yourself more next year?
Pace myself?
What did I mean, like,
I didn't do anything crazy.
I'm not, you didn't drink a lot, but I mean, I guess a better word to say is, I guess we'll spend more time there next year.
Yeah, I think you just need a little bit more time. We got there on Wednesday, and honestly, I almost feel like there was not a need for us to be there on Wednesday. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with it.
I'll be
but,
there on Wednesday next year.
Maybe stay at least one extra day just to be able to experience the Saturday night and
get some rest
and not have to get up, you know, at 5 a.m. on Sunday and then drive 9.5 hours home. You know, maybe just have a little bit more time.
And I agree.
Walk around and see a little more and that kind of thing.
Yeah. It was, I don't know. I still am thinking about what I could have done differently, I guess, on the contest side. But I'll make those changes for next year. I've already, as you know, I make a ton of notes when I leave any event for the next year of what I can improve on.
But, I mean, it's crazy there anyway, because how many, it's like 200 and something teams. Is that right? I might be saying that wrong. I'm just asking.
I think it's closer to 300 maybe, and it's like two divisions broken out. You got the Texas side and you have like the open. So it's kind of, I don't really want to say it.
And they have a few other categories that we didn't mention because we didn't really have a part. They have like a Dutch oven dessert. Is that right?
Chef's choice, a Dutch oven dessert, and what else was it?
Those are the only ones I remember.
It was three.
But there may have been something else.
And the part of the team, the Briggy Bomb guys did that.
Yeah, they did that.
They turned in some incredible.
I heard
dishes.
The dessert was very good. Wasn't it like some type of bread pudding they did or something?
Like blueberry bread pudding cheesecake or something like that.
I wasn't there for that. Or I was walking around or something. I missed it.
Really good. The beef that they done for the Chef Choice was incredible. These little Wagyu beef bites.
I missed that,
you know,
too.
It was, they done an excellent job on that. Those guys do a heck of a job for sure.
Well, I mean, they were all super nice and friendly. And on Saturday, we met some more of the people that we hadn't met. And I don't remember some of their names, but I remember one of them. He remember the Asian guy? He was like, just call me Chow, like on Hangover. And then they had all these pictures where people like want to take pictures with him because he looks like him or whatever. They are just a bunch of characters.
Funny. They are more than characters. I mean, JG and JJ are JJ is wide open. Just a great guy. He introduced me to like some big wigs from Cisco and Google, and I don't know, a bunch of IT company people out of California.
Well, and we didn't even talk about, so on Friday you did cook some ribs for some of those people, I believe, and just did like a little one-on-one talk with them briefly.
Yeah, we cooked about 10 slabs of ribs for about a dozen.
They did like a barbecue charcuterie board for
executives, give a little spill, and really nice people, learned a lot about barbecue. They were used to some tri-tip in Texas, and they had had brisket several times, but they never had eaten a Memphis-style rib. Yeah. And so all the ones that we talked to after the fact, I mean, you're saying they devoured the slabs that we put out and were literally gnawing on the cartilage bone on the end of it. And I really didn't do anything great to those ribs. We just threw them on and cooked them, got them on the drum, and then threw them over on the offset and finished up. They were nothing, just an everyday eating rib. I call it a deer camp rib.
Well, I mean, all of those people were probably local to Texas, I assume.
No, they were from California.
Oh, all of those
were? Yeah, most of them from California and out in Utah.
They had flown in for the event.
And they flew in for the event, so they never had that type of wet rib like that. At least that's what they were telling me, the majority of them. And several of the guys knew who I were, followed me on YouTube already, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know. Well, I mean, Texas is very receptive of our brand. I feel like they're our number one selling state.
They are. Texas is our largest state that we sell to. It is our number one state. And, you know, being in the Academy Sports out there and other stores, it's very humbling. I mean, we went in several stores to see our product, but people are so receptive of it. It's pretty cool. And to know how that they are in Texas, the hospitality to go along with that, it just sums it up how Texas is. If it wasn't for my children, I'd probably be moving to Texas.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I would. Texas is a great state. You've always heard me say that. Always.
Not Houston, though.
Not Houston. I'd be more in the rural communities, a smaller town, Texas.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be in
outskirts
one of the bigger cities.
Of a bigger
outskirts,
city.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to be where we could do some hunting.
Oh, gosh. That's probably everywhere around there.
I'll go anywhere. It don't matter. Always great. Well, I can tell you, is there anything else you would like to say about Houston?
I don't think so. I mean, just thanks to those that came to help us. You know, like I said, Shane and Lacey and Mitchell and France all came in and kind of helped. And
Jacob
just
done a great job.
And Jacob
shooting
was
video,
there
work
doing
and
video
all that.
And drinking people, beer with Mitchell. I mean.
Yeah, a lot of people don't see all the behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on and all that kind of stuff. And we couldn't do it without the crew that runs
some
with
of the behind-the-scenes stuff doesn't need to be
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, some of the behind-the-scenes.
Or heard.
Maybe we'll post that picture of Mitchell passed out in a port-a-john. That wasn't Texas.
That was not Texas, and you shouldn't even say that. He's going to be mad at you.
No, it's all in good fun and spirits.
I think Mitchell cracked open a beer on Saturday morning at 5:45 a.m.
He said you can't drink all day unless you get started now. And he started.
I think he did drink all day, too.
He drank beer, though.
Yeah,
I'm not saying. He did not get on the liquor.
Oh, I never said he did. I think he did some. Did he do a fireball shot?
I don't know. I'm unsure. I really don't know.
I don't know either. I was not on that drinking train.
Well, Houston's always a good time. That was our first time there for the rodeo, but I definitely cannot
wait. Well, the actual
wait.
Rodeo's going on now.
I know. I wish we'd have stayed for it. I'd love to.
Because I think it goes on for a few weeks, right?
It does.
Like 3 weeks or so, or 4 weeks. I could be wrong.
No doubt. So maybe we should go back.
I'm not driving. Book up flight.
Y'all heard it there. I hope y'all enjoyed our episode here recapping the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. It was an incredible event, and I can't wait till next time. We'll catch y'all next week on Shooting the Q.
Thank you for tuning in to the Shooting the Q podcast. If you have any comments or suggestions for future episodes, please feel free to reach out to us on our social media channels or through our website. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform. Leave us a review if you enjoyed the show. Until next time, keep shooting the cue.